Somebody say living on a prayer. How many of you know there's power in prayer by now? Amen. Can you give God praise that there is power in prayer today? In this new series, week one, we talked about adjusting our approach. We've got to change the way we go to God. We've got to understand that He wants to hear from us just like a good father wants to hear from his kids. Last week, we talked about the fact that God wants to answer our prayer. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, God wants to answer your prayer. Let me give you an example of that. I've heard lots and lots of testimonies this week about people who have been jumping onto these truths. And listen, we're in a season where God is responding, because anytime we preach His word, He wants to confirm it. And so here's one of the ones that came in. It was Brother Lee Haxton. He had a shoulder and bicep surgery. And he said, I just came from a follow-up surgery visit. I will be out of the sling in 2 more weeks. I was supposed to be in the sling for 10 weeks. Our prayers for compressed healing were heard and acted upon by our supreme leader. And so he went from 10 weeks, he was supposed to be in it, to just 2 weeks. And he said, the glory to God, as you said Sunday, God wants to answer our prayers, and He does. How many of you know 2 weeks are better than 10 weeks in a sling? So that's powerful. But today we want to move on to a new principle, and it's very simply this. We're going to be building a better prayer, building a better prayer, because if we want results, we've got to follow the rules. And I believe one of the most important things we can do as God's people is begin getting traction in our prayer life, because instead of just spinning our wheels and feeling like we're going nowhere, when you get traction, you actually get movement. And what happens is we begin building momentum. And so I believe God wants to answer your prayers. And today we're going to take a step deeper into it and show you how to get those prayers answered.
Absolutely. How many of you want some traction in your prayers?
I know I do.
Number one, the first thing we need to do is pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. If you look in John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in, here again, it says the same thing again, in my name, I will do it. I know every night at supper, we gather around the table and the food we're about to eat, and Josh will say, who wants to pray? And I mean, in a moment, Zoe's like, it's me. Because she wants to pray first, she wants to pray fast, and she wants to eat her food. So she'll hurry up and rumble off her prayer, and then she'll say, amen. And that's all she'll say. And Josh will have to turn to her and say, and what makes that prayer work? And she goes, in Jesus' name, amen. You've got to have the name of Jesus. And if you look further ahead in John to chapter 16, verse 23 and 24, it says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. That's a pretty good promise.
Yeah.
Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. It doesn't say you might receive. Sometimes you receive. It'll say you will receive, that your joy may be full. So this must be pretty important. You are to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Why?
Right.
Why is that so important? And the answer is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's no other name that's like it. There's no other name that can heal you. There's no other name that can save you. There's no other name that can change your life in a moment's notice. What a better way to pray to the Father, by adding the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and it's because of that name that we have the privilege of coming into the presence of God. It's all because of Jesus that we have an opportunity to be in right relationship with God. I remember when I was in college, like I've told you, I was a car addict, and so we built and bought and raced and wrecked and had a lot of fun with it. But I was with my buddy Ryan Martin, who actually owns the Fireball Camaro, if anybody ever seen Street Outlaws. He's one of the fastest guys in the country now, which is pretty cool. But anyway, back then, we were just a couple poor rednecks that were hacking around on some Mustangs. And I remember getting in the car with him shortly after I got radically saved, and he went barreling down the road to show me what his new little brother's new car could do, and we were going way too fast. And we came over this blind knoll, and on the other side was a stoplight, and everybody was stopped there, and the traffic was backed up, and we didn't have time to get the car stopped between where we were and where the back of the next car was. And so he locked the brakes up and had the wherewithal to yank the wheel over into the grass, and we go flying through the grass like the Dukes of Hazzard. And I remember saying, "Oh, schnick." Except I didn't say schnick. I'm cleaning it up because we're in church today. And I remember instantly on the inside of me, I felt the Holy Spirit grieved because, man, God had radically saved me, and I was just passionately in love with Jesus. And I was like, oh my goodness, what if we would have hit that car? And I was tormented by this thought that what if the last word out of my mouth for my entire life would have been schnick? My entire life stood for schnick. And so the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I was like, God, I don't want a heart full of schnick. I want a heart full of you. And so I remembered 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I did that, and I was forgiven, went on. God doesn't remember it, even though I'm telling it today. But the reality is I learned a super important lesson that day, because it was a very short amount of time later that I was leaving college in my Mustang convertible, Vermilia Red GT, Cobra R wheels, Cobra rear, Cobra spoiler on it, had a Lunati custom grind cam, underdrive pulleys, full race length ceramic coated headers, off-road H-pipe, 2.5-inch Flowmaster mufflers, 355 gears, Brother Eric, with a limited slip.
Who even knows what he's talking about?
With a Hirsch billet plush. Can all the men shout amen, glory to Jesus? Y'all know what I'm talking about. So my point to you is I was probably not doing the speed limit.
Yeah. Probably.
I hit an oil slick. I kid you not, as sure as I am standing here. And the car begins to lose control. And I'm like, there's nothing I can do at this point. Now I'm in a drop top Mustang about to go off a cliff. And I remember yelling out, that car's out of control. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth, up out of my spirit, didn't even think it with my mind, was Jesus. And I want to tell you right now that that 3,600 pound car, totally out of control, was instantly in the center of that lane, tracking straight down the road. And if it wasn't for that, I would have been dead today. Schnick can't save you, but the name of Jesus can. When death came knocking on my door, Jesus answered it. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, there is power in the name of Jesus.
So number one, we have pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And number two, pray in faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You've got to believe. Mm-hmm. The Bible shows us that God respects and God responds to faith, not our need.
Right.
Faith causes God to pass over others to get to you. And faith is a force that moves you forward. Faith means to go after a goal. Faith never, ever looks back. Faith always is reaching ahead to forge a better future. I absolutely love that definition, that faith goes after a goal, that it never looks back. That is what faith is, moving forward, reaching ahead, and it never, ever, ever looks back. Too many times we look back over our past situations. We look back over things that didn't go exactly how we thought it should. We look back at things that we thought God should have stopped or did, but didn't. And we start to let doubt creep into our lives. You've got to stop that and have faith. The faith that presses forward, never looking back, but looking ahead. Keep seeking. Keep going after God. It says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That's quite the promise. Faith is now.
Amen. Somebody say, pray in faith. Faith is very simply trusting God. It's very simply believing God. And one of the things we don't do is we don't play when we pray. When we ask for something, we actually believe it. We believe God will do what we're asking Him to do. We believe God is who He says He is. We believe that God will do what He said He would do. And if we don't believe that He's going to do what we ask of Him, then let me just break it down real simple. Don't bother asking. Because that's not faith. And actually, it's not faith until we believe He's going to do it. Because the reality is, when we pray, we're not just going through the motions. It's not kind of this heavenly Russian roulette where we stick a prayer in the chamber and fire it up and hope God answers back. God could care less about our religious rituals and going through motions. He wants life-giving relationships. Somebody say relationship. And y'all know in relationships, if we just go through the motions, people can tell. If we just go through the motions, it's powerless. But when we put our heart into what it is we're communicating, then it builds powerful relationship with that other person. And so we actually believe that prayer makes a difference in our situation. And what we're doing is we're inviting God to get involved because we believe He can help. How many of you believe God can help today? Amen? And so faith is not denying your current reality. A lot of people think that walking in faith and believing God for something means I'm denying what I'm seeing. That's not the reality. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And so faith is acknowledging that my God is bigger than any fact I face. Facts can change. Truth never does. And so if I stand in faith on the truth, then my facts have to come into line with what God's word says. And so that's critical for us to understand. It's also important for us to understand that when we pray in faith and we're believing, faith is not something we use to manipulate God to get what we want. Faith is the gift God has given every single one of us to accomplish what He wants. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Somebody say, "I am not a beggar."
I am not a beggar.
Say, "I am a believer."
I am a believer.
Amen.
Number three, we need to pray in line with God's word. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him." This is what gives you that confidence, that boldness that you need. Listen to what it says, "That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." The key to answered prayer is asking according to His will. And how do you know what His will is? It's very simply the Word.
Yeah.
The Word of God is the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And you know His will by His word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You can't know His will if you don't know the word of God.
Right.
The word is what teaches me to ask for what God already wants. We don't ask for things that aren't His will. The more you get into His word, the more you know His will. The more I know His will, the greater confidence we have when we ask.
Yeah.
And that confidence means boldness. That confidence is the absence of fear in speaking boldly. It's cheerful courage. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. I want that type of confidence and boldness.
Amen.
When I go before the Lord, knowing that whatever I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, according to His will, that I will have it and it shall be done. Hallelujah.
Amen. I think that's a totally different mindset for many of us. Understand that definition, that we can have that type of boldness and confidence when we come before God. But it all comes from knowing the Word. And it's that simple. The Word of God is the will of God. Can you say that with me? The Word of God is the will of God. Let's do it again. The Word of God is the will of God. One more time. The Word of God is the will of God. And so one of the things we make a practice of not doing is we never pray, "If it be your will." Now, some of you might have grown up in a church where you heard that on the back of every prayer, like it wasn't a good prayer unless you threw on the back of it, if it be your will. Because for some reason, we were afraid that we might ask God for something that wasn't in his will. And so I learned in my early 20s to not ask for things that I didn't know weren't in his will. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's why we read our Bible, that you may know, that you may prove that good and pleasing and perfect will of God. And so it's critical that we know God's will. It's critical that we open the Bible and find out his will. Actually, Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, he said, therefore, don't be unwise. Somebody say, don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid.
But understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, the Holy Spirit wouldn't tell us to do something if we didn't have the ability to do it. And so Paul says a person who doesn't understand God's will is actually considered unwise. But that's not us. We are people of wisdom. And so it's not hard for you to receive from God when you know something already belongs to you, when you know you already have a right to it. However, if we don't read our Bible, then we don't know what God has already made available. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, we're satisfied to be king dumb, and then we wonder why we're being devoured by the enemy. And that's why we stand on the outside looking in, acting like it was God who locked us out. And so what we have to do is break out of this mindset that if God wants me to have it, then he'll give it to me. And if I don't get it, then he didn't want me to have it. Well, if God wants my needs to be met, then he'll send them. If God wants me to be healed, he'll send it. If God wants to meet me to be saved, he'll do it. If God wants me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he'll do it. If God wants me to have that job, then he'll give it to me. No, can I tell you that when Jesus hung on the cross, one of the last things he said is, it is finished. Hallelujah. In other words, he's done his part. It's time for us to start doing ours, which means ask, seek, and knock, which spells A-S-K. And when we do that, he begins opening things, and the result of what we get out of answered prayer is not what we ask for, but it's a greater confidence in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you give him praise for that today? See, most people think God is this mean old miser who's a stingy penny pincher, who wants to beat them over the head every time they slip up and can't wait to correct them and is constantly rejecting them and is so angry because the world is full of so much sin and he wants them to just scrape their way through life because somehow that's spiritual. But I want to tell you today, you have a Father in heaven who loves you more than anything you could imagine, and he loves giving good gifts to his kids. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 spells it all out. It says, for all the promises of God. Where do I find the promises of God? This book is filled with promises God has given to you and to me. For all the promises of God in him or in Jesus are what? So he's already said yes to the promises. So if I ask for a promise, I already know I got a yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. He goes on in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and the Holy Spirit tells us, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Through the promises of God, we become more like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so the promises are available to every single born-again believer. How many of you believe in Jesus today? Amen? Then the promises of God are available to every one of you, but none of them are automatic. And so what happens is the promises of God give me a place to focus my faith like a laser beam. And what happens is I meet people who are struggling with a situation that feels like it's insurmountable. It feels huge. And they say, well, Josh, I can't believe God for fill in the blank. And the reason is because they've got their eyes on the wrong thing. We're focused on the circumstance instead of the Savior. We're focused on the mountain instead of the Messiah. As John said this morning, we're focused on the obstacle instead of the opportunity maker. And so what happens is when I focus on the promises of God, it releases confidence in me, because even though I may not be able to believe God can meet that need by focusing on the need, I can believe what Jesus said, that if I ask anything in his name, he said he would do it. I can believe Mark 9:23 that all things are possible to him that believes. I can keep my faith focused on 1 Peter 2:24 that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. And so no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I hear, no matter what goes on around me, I keep my spiritual eyes focused on the promise of God I'm clinging to, and that releases power. And what happens is asking in faith places a demand or a withdrawal on the promise of God. It literally extracts the power of God for your situation. And what we're saying is, God, I see it in your word, and I want this, and I need this in my life, and I believe that Jesus already bought and paid for it with his blood shed at Calvary. And so faith is the hand that reaches into the realm of the spirit. And the reason why I need to be able to do that is because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says God has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So faith is the hand that reaches into the realm of the spirit and lays hold on the promises of God and pulls that thing back into my life, so I see God show up in my situation. Can you say amen today?
Amen. You got to pray in line with God's word. Number four, pray with someone else about your need. Quit trying to do it by yourself.
Right.
Some of you think, oh, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. This will change your mind right here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You need to get in agreement with another believer. Why? Why is that important? Because there is power in agreement. Quit trying to do it by yourself. You may say, well, I don't have a significant other to pray with. Just look around you. You've got a house full of family that'll stand with you when no matter what you need. Amen?
Amen.
There's power in agreement.
Yeah. So God wanted us to do this thing together, not just alone, but with other people. And I want to ask John and Sue Gleason to join me on the platform. And while they do, I'm going to tell you a story. Dylan Morrison, who plays electric guitar for us. Y'all let Dylan know how much you love him today. He does an awesome job. But he sent me this last week, and he said, hey, man, just sending this out, so hopefully you'll see it in the morning. Anyway, just wanted to ask you to agree on prayer with me on something. Now, he's reaching out, and he says, I need you to come into agreement with me. He said, you said God speaks car, haha. So anyway, I have a minor wiring issue with my Jeep, similar to the one I've had before, just this time with the wiring in the passenger door. And he says, anyway, we have a trip to Pittsburgh coming up Thursday. Now, he sends me this on Monday. They're leaving Thursday, and we're planning on taking that. So I'm believing that A, my mechanic will be able to get the Jeep in before Thursday, and B, this will cost no more than $100 to $125 max. He said, could you do this for me? Try not to stress out over something like that. Ha ha. Thank you. And so I got the answer back later that week that not only did the mechanic get that in for Dylan on the same day, but it only cost him $76. And so God does speak car, Dylan, and God showed up in a big way for him and just showing him, hey, I'm here for you. And if I'm here for you in what seem like the little things in your life, then I'm also going to be here for the bigger things in your life. The same thing we talked about with Lee's testimony going from 10 weeks to 2 weeks that he'd have to wear that sling. And so I've asked John and Sue to join me on the platform. John does maintenance for us here at Victory Church. He does an absolutely phenomenal job. And I want to thank, amen. And I want to thank him and Bob Lance for the amazing job they've done out in the lobby painting that, and Chris Thorne for the beautiful woodwork. Y'all let them know how much you appreciate them too. But John's had experienced some hearing loss in his right ear, and he's been asking people to come into agreement and pray with him. And so as he's done that, it's gotten a little bit better here and there. And I said to him this week, I said, well, hey, how about while all of us are together, we come into agreement and pray for this ear? Because y'all know God wants to answer John's prayer. Can you say amen? And so would you stand with me this morning? I want everybody to come into agreement And right now, we're going to put the rubber to the road, and we're going to put into practice what we've done. And sometimes we ask you in situations like this to reach your hands forward in faith. And what that means is we're just extending our faith. Sometimes it helps us when we have something we can see to understand things we can't see. And so when you reach your hand toward him, you're just saying, I'm extending my faith towards you, and I'm believing God to touch your ear. Can we come into agreement today and believe God to do that in John? Amen. Let's do it right now. Come on, Marcia. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you right now for John. And Lord, your word says, if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Jesus, by your stripes, he is healed. So we come to you right now for this ear. And I speak life into this ear. And God, I ask that you would reconstruct and heal it right now in Jesus' name. And we come into agreement. And Jesus, we're not making this up. But Lord, you said in your word, if any two of us agree on anything we ask, that it'll be done for us by our Father in heaven. Jesus, you said all things are possible to him that believes. And so, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask you to heal this ear and restore his hearing. Let it be perfect in the name of Jesus. We believe we receive what we've asked right now by faith. And we give you praise that it's done and it's accomplished. Thank you, Lord, for healing John's ear. Thank you for reconstructing it. Thank you for restoring his hearing. Right now, I speak to that ear and I command it to come open in Jesus' name. Father, we give you thanks and praise that it's done. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Can you give him praise that it's done in Jesus' name? Say that again.
It's better already.
Say that again.
It's better already.
Say that again.
It's better.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Somebody say, God wants to answer your prayer.
There's power in agreement. Absolutely. Number five, believe you receive the instant you ask.
Yeah.
In Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith is now. Mm-hmm. And my prayer gives me a date. Yep. It gives me a time. It gives me a place where I received what I needed. So write it down. Write down whatever it is that you're believing God for and hold it before him every single day and start thanking him that you have what you asked for, that it is already finished. You can start thanking him that he's working on it. You can start thanking him that he's able and that he's not only able to meet your need, but he is willing to meet your need.
Right.
And even though you can't see it right now, it's on the way because I live by faith and not by sight. You start looking for it every single day to show up because it starts to build an expectation on the inside of you that starts rising up. And because you believe that you received it, that very instant you ask, believe that you received it instantly.
That's right. That's one of the most powerful things we can do when it comes to believing God for prayer. I think about what Jesus said. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, well, you know, mustard seeds are one of the tiniest seeds there are. He said, if you have only that much faith, then you can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will get up and it will move. Well, mustard seed is all it takes to move a mountain in God's kingdom and economy. And what we say all the time is, if I just had more faith, if I just had more faith. Well, the reality is, if we just use what we have, we'd be able to move mountains. I mean, how much faith does it really take? And we think, man, I'm not good at this thing. I'm not good at prayer. But let me tell you, the same faith it takes to receive a miracle in your life is the same faith you operate in every single day. Now, Marcia likes to place orders with different people online. Amazon's one of them. Anybody ever place an order with Amazon? Amazon is like the new Walmart. I mean, they're putting Walmart to shame. So everybody who's a small retailer is like, yes, Amazon. But the reality is, when you place an order, you have no doubt in your mind that when you place the order, that that thing's going to show up. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Well, we're using the exact same type of faith that it takes to receive an answer from God in prayer. Whenever we call Amazon, but yet for some reason when we come to God in prayer, then we're saying, man, I really just don't have what it takes. And the reality is that you do. And Marcia said it so well. I mean, we date the time we receive by faith. God dates the time we receive by fact. And as long as I cling to my faith, I know I have the confirmation that I'm going to receive what I've asked for. Just like when you place an order, the very next thing they do is they send you an email confirmation. Can I tell you, God has emailed you a confirmation?
That's right.
Lots of them. And so you stand in faith on that. You know it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Amen. That's good. Number six, you need to be patient. I think this is one of the hardest ones because sometimes we give up because what we were believing God for didn't happen in the time frame that we thought it should have.
Right.
So we give up, but we need to be patient. God is not in a hurry.
Say
He's not up there in heaven rushing all over. Oh, what about this? What about that? Oh my goodness, I forgot. That's not God. He's not in a hurry. Be patient. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and what? What does it say? Patience. Inherit the promises. You have to be patient and not give up on God.
We don't like that word.
No.
Patience is painful. Anna is 12 years old, and Zoe, how old are you? 5 years old. So there's a 7-year gap between Anna and Zoe, and it was not an intentional gap, and anyway, we'll leave that one alone. But this was something that I began praying for, and Marcia and I came into agreement, and we began believing God for a second child. It was something we wanted, and we believed God would give us the desires of our heart, and so we asked together God for another baby. So I wrote it down on an expectation card. This is something I use pretty regularly as a reminder every day. And I wrote down baby, and I wrote down the date that we asked. And so every day I would go before the Lord and I would say, Father, I thank you for giving us another child. I thank you that our bodies are functioning perfectly. I thank you, God, for blessing Marcia's body. I thank you that her womb is a place of hospitality and not hostility. I thank you, God. I apply the blood of Jesus over our bodies and over this process that egg and seed come together and conceive. Father, I thank you that you said that we are able to create. We've been created in your likeness and in your image, and you've given us dominion. And a part of that, God, was that you called us to fill the earth. And so, Father, we thank you that this is our promise in you. This is one of the purposes for which you've created us. And so I would do that regularly. I mean, daily, I was going before the Lord and reminding him and saying, Father, I thank you, and standing on those promises. But year after year went by and no baby. And month after month went by, and there was that reminder that there was going to be no baby. And at times it can be overwhelming, and at times it can be discouraging. But can I tell you that after 6 years of believing God and standing on his word and being patient, like you just said, the day came that you conceived and we found out you were pregnant. And it was a day full of so much joy and excitement, and we were going nuts. I think actually Chris has a picture of Marcia with Anna kissing her belly. And man, we were so excited. But let me tell you, it didn't stop there. The enemy still attacks your promise, even when you see it begin to come to pass. And you think, man, we've made it. We're pregnant. And then all of a sudden, you want to step in and fill in that part of the story?
No, you go ahead. You're doing good.
Then all of a sudden, we wake up one night and Marcia's bleeding, and you know, immediately there's panic and fear, and we're like, oh my goodness, we can't lose this baby. And this was, I don't know, maybe after a couple weeks. And immediately we went back to praising God and thanking God and believing, saying, no, God, you said in your word. And it brought stability back into our life. And can I tell you, after visiting the doctor, and you know, immediately we call the doctor, we go in, they say, you know what, you're going to lose it. We're not going to give you a date. I'm sorry. And so we went home. We kept standing faith on God's word, and 8 months later, baby Zoe showed up, and we give God thanks and praise for that. But it is the result of exactly what we're talking about today. So every time we look into her eyes, it is a reminder for us that God wants to answer your prayer. But again, these things are available, but they didn't happen automatically. Can you say amen?
Amen. You've got to be patient. And lastly, never give up.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Never give up. Sometimes we give up too soon. We only knock once. We wait a second, and then we quit. But as believers, we can't be that way. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. We're called to finish the race. Amen?
Amen.
Don't ever give up. As Josh said, I like to shop, and I like to shop online, in stores. I like to shop anywhere. But my favorite thing is shopping online, and I want something really expensive for really cheap. So you go to those websites like Poshmark and Mercari and eBay, get something that's barely used, something that's awesome, really cheap, and that's what I do. And I had gone to this particular app, and I found these awesome pair of Uggs for my kids, two pairs, for my kids for this winter, and they were brand new with tags for super cheap. So I was like, yes, I'll take them. I buy the Uggs, I receive them in the mail, and you don't have to worry when you buy off these websites because they have a policy that says they protect the buyer and the seller, and that if you ever get anything fake, they protect you, so don't worry about it. So I was totally confident. I get the shoes in the mail, I open them up, instantly know they're fake. They are the flimsiest piece of junk shoes that I've ever seen. So I contact the company. I said, dude, man, these are fake. They said, okay, send us some pictures. I send them pictures. It's obvious it's fake. Even the tags that are on them say stuff on them that Uggs never say. It was so obvious. I send them the email. I don't hear back from them. I'm like, what is going on? I get an email back and say, I'm sorry, your case is closed. You didn't do what we asked. The seller got the money. You're stuck with the shoes. And I'm like, what? I sent you the pictures. They said, well, you didn't send more pictures when we asked. I said, you didn't ask for more pictures. So this goes back and forth about 66 times. Now, you probably think that's kind of crazy. You may think, man, what is wrong with that woman? But can I tell you, I wanted what belongs to me. There was a policy that said they protect me. The Uggs were fake. Now give me my money back. So, you know, you think, man, that's a little too much. That's a little bit crazy. What about the men in the Bible in the book of Luke who had a gentleman with them and they had to get him to Jesus, but there was no way to get to Jesus, but they had to climb up on a roof, cut a hole through a roof, and lower that man down through the ceiling. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a little more than the normal, don't you think?
Right.
Sometimes you got to do something out of the ordinary. Sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes. Those men ripped a hole through the roof, lowered that man down through to get to Jesus, and he was healed. They got what belongs to him. Amen? You've got to go after it. You've got to never, ever, ever give up. Well, let me tell you, I get those emails back and forth. They tell me the case is closed. I tell them I will not accept that. And I kept going after it, and I finally got a different person who said, you're right, your Uggs are fake. Here, take the money back. Hallelujah. That's how we need to be as believers, because I remembered the policy. They're supposed to protect me, so I refused to accept that answer, and I never gave up. And it's the same way in this life. When the enemy comes against you,
right,
when the enemy begins to whisper in your ear, you've got cancer, case closed. You're always, always going to be single, case closed. You're never going to get that promotion at work, case closed. Your children, your family that you've been believing God for, they are never, ever going to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, case closed. That's when you, as a believer, need to stand up and make a decision. I will not accept that, because we as believers have a policy to stand on. We've got a policy right here.
Right.
We've got the Word of God,
That's right. It's
powerful. Hallelujah. And that Word belongs to me. The Word tells me that I am healed in the name of Jesus. The Word tells me that He will satisfy me with long life. The Word tells me that He will give me the desires of my heart.
The word tells me that the favor of the Lord is upon me. The word tells me that he who raises the children unto yes. the Lord will never, ever, Hallelujah. Ever depart. The word tells me that my God, Josh, can do anything. My God can do anything. Don't ever give up. You're too valuable. Your prayers are powerful. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep going after it.
Hallelujah.
You've got the word of God.
Thank
it's
you,
alive.
Jesus.
It's powerful. Don't ever, ever give up. Who cares if people think you're crazy? You're going after God. Do whatever you need to do. Hallelujah.
Come on, can you give him a big praise today? Faith is rising in the room right now. Faith is rising in the room right now. Before we leave, I want you to put the rubber to the road right now. How many of you have a need in this room? Raise your hand. I want you to think of one need, not 85. One need right now, all over this room. All over this room. I'm going to come into agreement with you, and we're going to ask God that it's done, and I'm going to give you a blank spot for you to fill it in. You ready? You ready? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you right now. And we are reminded by your word that when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, you open it. You said, according to our faith, let it be unto us. You said, all things are possible to them that believe. You said, with you, nothing is impossible. You said, whatsoever things we ask, when we pray, believe that we receive them and we'll have them. Father, we believe these promises. And so, Father, we come into agreement right now with every need represented by an uplifted hand in this room. And, Father, we release the totality of your power and your presence and your promises into these situations now. In the name of Jesus, right now, say out loud what it is. Ready? Go. And, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you that that thing, say it again. We thank you that that thing is done right now in the mighty name of Jesus according to your word. And Father, we believe we received it when we asked. And so, Father, we thank you that, fill in the blank, what is it? We thank you that that thing is done in the name of Jesus. We received the answer to our prayer and we give you glory right now. Come on, church, you ought to be excited because he's already dated the time and place that you received by faith. And it's a matter of time before it shows up in your life.